I want you to get your Bibles out and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. The sermon tonight will be a lesson or lessons learned by a pastor after many, many years of preaching and being in the pastorate. The sermon is called Perilous Times. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Once you find it, would you stand for me, please? 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to start reading at verse number 1, and we'll read through about verse number 7. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women." That those words silly women there would be equal to our modern-day blonde. "And lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Meet with us. This sermon is simple and practical, and might all of us be more cautious in the perilous times of life as a result of coming to church tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. According to this, there's a thing that God calls perilous times. And it is in reference to what we would call the last days. There will be some perilous times that will come upon us. But God is teaching us that there are times of life that are more perilous than others. Perilous could mean dangerous times, times when it takes a little extra wisdom, times when extra caution is necessary, times when you'll need to be on guard to protect yourself, protect your testimony, times when you could be caught off guard, so listen as someone tries to help you, times when that may come to your family that could ruin you if you're not careful. Sometimes you and I bring on the perilous times, but sometimes they're just different parts of life. My grandfather was a baseball player. He was a pitcher. He played for the Milwaukee Brewers. I learned to pitch baseball at a very, very young age. Back when I was playing baseball, there were certain pitches that you weren't allowed to throw in Little League. You weren't allowed to throw a curveball. They didn't want you throwing a sinker. They said if you throw a curveball, you'd mess up the muscles and everything in your arm. But I learned how to throw a sinker. I learned how to throw a curveball when I was very, very young. I learned how to throw a ball very, very hard. And I was learning to pitch from my grandfather, who definitely knew how to pitch. His name was Orlando Halberstadt. They call him Hap, so they made it easy. But I remember one day, my brother hated to catch for me. He did not want to catch for me because we had a little bit of a rivalry going. And if I could throw a fastball and sting his hands, I loved to do that. But on this particular day, my brother had been extra ornery with me. And I'd talked him into coming out back and throwing ball for a little while, and I planned on getting him. I thought, he had been mean to me. I did the thing that all brothers do. Revenge is mine, saith the brother. A brother is born for adversity. It's scriptural. I did what God had commanded. So, boy, we walked it off, and he was going to catch, and I was going to pitch, and we warmed up for a little while, throwing back and forth, and I started with a fastball, and then I started throwing a sinker, and then I decided, and on purpose, I'm going to hit him. He's going to get hit with the ball, and I'm going to throw a curveball, and it's going to hit him. I really didn't expect to happen what happened. I reared back. I threw it as hard as I could. I watched that ball curve. I watched his glove go up and down and around, and he's trying to figure it out, and I'm seeing in his eyes the panic, and then I seen the ball hit him right in the middle of the forehead. And then I seen a trickle of blood start running down his face. Now, it ended up being 4 stitches, but I'll tell you what I did. the minute I pitched that ball, I laid my ball glove down, I got on my bike, and I took off. You say, why? Perilous times were coming. Because my mother had said, she had told me before, do not, he's not going to want to play baseball, do not do that to him. I brought on my own perilous time. I will not tell you what happened. There was no stitches in regard to what happened to me, but I might have preferred it. It couldn't set for a couple of days. I come from a generation where they still talk to their kids about their wrong. It was a perilous time. I wish I had time. There's so many things I want to say tonight. I will not keep you late, but I am going to. I want to talk to you about perilous times. There are times in life where they're a little more dangerous and the slope is a little slicker than usual. This is one of those sermons where you sit down and you prepare it. And someone asked me one time, said, how long does it take to prepare a sermon? Well, you might throw one together in 6 or 8 hours if you want to, but this is the kind of sermon that takes years and years and years of experience and observation to pick up on the perilous times that we face as Christians in life. I wish I could teach tonight on the subject of the perilous time of burdens. Burdens come on us, it becomes a perilous time, and it's a time where you better keep your eyes on the Lord, because burdens will get you off track if you're not careful. It becomes perilous, a dangerous time. I wish I had time tonight to talk on the subject of retirement. I've watched many people go into retirement, and it becomes a perilous time. Husbands and wives, that retirement comes. They're not used to being together all the time, and they find out that there is a reacclimation to one another during retirement, and they get bored, and idle time is the devil's workshop. You ever heard someone say that? But retirement can, it's not as easy as what you might think. You say, well, I sure would like to try to do that hard thing. You'll have your chance, and you'll find out what I'm telling you. It can be a perilous time. Sickness hits. I've watched people get hit with sickness, and then they end up being sick the rest of their life. But they didn't have to. They just got into a mode of it. And it became a perilous time, and before long, they're missing church, and they shouldn't be. And they're out of God's will. And I don't think you ought to judge anybody about it, but I'm going to tell you, sickness can be a perilous time, because some people don't make the comeback. Their body could and would, but they don't. And then they blame sickness for the rest of their life on everything and their unfaithfulness, and they get away from God. I don't think that's the case all the time, obviously not. But I'm going to tell you, it's a perilous time. If you get sick, you be careful, because that sickness could get you off track. I don't have time for those. I do have a handful of times, eras, situations in life that tend to be perilous times. I'm going to talk to you about them. Number one. It can be a perilous time when you are newly married and in your the first few years of being married. In Luke chapter 14, verse number 20, there was something going on and there were some people invited to be a part of something that God wanted done. And it says in Luke 14, 20 in the verse, it says, I married a wife, I therefore cannot come. Those of you that are in your younger years of marriage, it's a time of adjustment to one another. Now, you have a lot to learn about each other, and all young marriages have growing pains. You have lived separately for 20 years of life or so, and then you come together and you find out, well, this isn't as easy as it looks. A lot of adjustment. You discover life is a little more complicated than what you thought. Boy, I remember watching my father attend to paying bills and everything, and it almost scared me to death. I thought, how in the world does he pull that off? But he did. And when you get married, there is a complication to life that you didn't really, really realize you were about to get into. Now, all these things can get you off track in life. Hey, don't let a new marriage keep you out of church. Could I tell you something? Those of you that are newly married, be careful spending more time with everybody else than you do with your own spouse. I've watched young marriages struggle because Someone has a hard time getting away from their parents. You know, when you get married, the two of you, you become a unit. And if the wife spends a ton of time with her mom and dad and leave her husband forsaken, that'll wear on a marriage. The Bible says that when you get married, you become a unit of your own. But be careful. Be careful with your money if you're newly married. The newly married people, I've watched this happen over and over again. I've watched a man who is a good, faithful, committed servant of God and a young lady who's a good, faithful, committed servant of God, faithful to church, faithful, and doing what they're supposed to do, get married, and they virtually become ghosts around the church because they just are not handling the new responsibility of marriage well. And they end up stumbling. So might I say to everyone, we've got a handful of folks that will marry in the future and a good handful of younger married couples in our church. Stay on track. Stay on track. God never intended for you to get married and as a result of it, you gave up on God and gave up on the church and gave up on Jesus. Don't let that happen to you. It can be a perilous time. And I don't mean it is a perilous relationship. I mean, you got to be careful that you do what you do and you keep your eyes on your relationship, especially in those first few years of marriage. Perilous time number two. It's when you have a new baby. When you have a new baby. Psalm 127, verse number 3, it says, children are an heritage of the Lord. Babies can be a wonderful, wonderful thing. But also, babies can be some of the biggest home wreckers in the world as well. You say, why? Well, you get a new baby, and mom is giving all sorts of attention to that baby. It used to be that dad would get a hot cup of coffee in the morning, and dad would get a little hug here and there, and if dad were cold, mom would give him a blanket. Then a new baby comes. Dad now gets cold drinks, no blanket, he gets no hugs. The baby gets all the warm drinks, the baby gets all the blankets and all the hugs, and the dad's going, you little rat. be careful. Someone can have a baby, and moms can have a baby, and we might not. I've watched it happen. I watched a mom have a new baby, and she'd not come to church for 3 months because she had a baby. Well, that's silly. And then the nursery's not good enough for them, so they won't put their kids in the nursery. I've just watched new babies can change people and change people in a bad way. And what happens? You get a new baby. They used to go out on dates back when you were happily married, and now you got a baby. And you don't go on dates anymore. I'm going to tell you something. You better keep on dating. That baby does not take the place of the relationship of husband and wife. You fuss because of disagreements with the baby, and then the jealousies that come because of the special treatment of the baby. So, just let me tell you, it's a perilous time if you're newly married, and in the first few years of marriage as you're adjusting. Secondly, it's a perilous time when you have a new baby. Number three, it's a perilous time when your children become teenagers. When they... Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 22 says, flee also youthful lust. Now here God's telling us there is the potential of these youthful lusts. In other words, in the youth era, in the youth age, it affects people. It affects the young people. Well, I'm going to guarantee you, if it affects your youth or your teenager, it is going to affect you as a mom and dad. It can be a very, very perilous time when the children are leaving childhood and they go into their youth. Now, the word teenager is not used in the Bible. They use the word youth. And so when your children are becoming youth or becoming teenagers, watch out. There's the potential of that perilous time. It gets slippery. It gets more challenging. It could be a spiritually dangerous time. Look. When your children are little, it's easier when it comes to the guidance and the expectation placed upon them. When they get a little older, they begin to develop attitudes of their own and desires of their own. And God forbid that any teenager would talk back. But most of the time, two-year-olds don't talk back, and if they do, we call it the terrible twos, and there's a way to deal with them. But with teenagers, it's a little different. Did you know something? When you tell a three-year-old they can't listen to rock music, you'll probably do okay. Then they become teenagers. Now you got your work cut out for you, don't you? Probably been smart that you had reared them to be a fundamentalist in the first place. You won't rear your kids to be liberals when they're children and expect them to be conservative fundamentalists when they're teenagers. You're blowing it if that's what you're doing. I'll guarantee it. Because you think they have a mind of their own when they're six, just you wait. There are some of you, even here at church, you agree with some of the separation and the teaching of separation here at the church. And that's easy to do because your kids are 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 years of age. When they become teenagers, you're going to have your work cut out for you. And can I tell you something? I know moms and dads that say, well, we have this conviction about our children, and this is how it's going to be. And then their kids grow up to become teenagers, and moms and dads are bailing out on their convictions because they found out it's not as easy to have a young teenager to be separated as it is to have a two-year-old that's separated. Parents, you ought not drop your standards because your kids become teenagers. And they will test you. And they will try you. I want you all to know, I don't know who, but somebody under the sound of my voice who have children now will leave this church in years to come because I will not change my standards or convictions because your kids become teenagers. Somebody will leave because they won't fight the fight that you have to fight to help your kids stay right. That's a perilous time. It's a perilous time if you're in the beginning stages of your marriage. It's a perilous time when you begin to have children. It's a perilous time when your children become teenagers. It could be a perilous time when you suffer the loss of a loved one, the death of a loved one. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 4, there is a time to mourn. There's a time to mourn. Let me say to everybody here, when you lose a loved one and someone you're very dear to and they pass on and they go to heaven, I've watched people make a lot of bad decisions shortly thereafter. Why? They're hurting. They're not thinking right. They're thinking more with their heart than with their spiritual mind. Why? They're emotional and they're bruised and they're hurting. And so I would say to you, it's a perilous time when you've lost a loved one. There are people under the sound of my voice who in years gone by lost a spouse or lost a loved one, and they would come and they'd ask my advice. I've told many a person that lost a spouse, I said, I would make no major change in your life for at least 1 year. I say, why? You need a year to mourn to get past all the pain so you can make good, solid decisions. Any of you that have ever lost someone that you love dearly, my, can it become confusing and a bit morbid in life, and you begin to not think right? So, at the time of the death of a loved one, it can be a perilous time. I think mourning is important. I think grieving is important. I think you need to do it. You need to miss that loved one. You need to love that loved one. You need to go through that. I don't want you to hurt, but I need to tell you, you need to hurt. You're supposed to hurt. You're supposed to miss them. Oh, but I can tell you this also. I've watched people mourn to such a high degree that they become useless for years. Now, that's not a good way to mourn. Make sure that if you lose a loved one, that your mourning does not cheat all the living. We're still to be attending to the living while we miss someone that is dead, someone that's passed on. Make sure you get in your Bible if you're mourning. Make sure you keep praying if you're mourning. Don't quit on God if you're mourning. Don't live in the past so much that you're ruining your future. I'll tell you this, your loved one would want you to live on successfully for God. Encourage yourself. I've watched people lose a loved one and they start ignoring their bills and they mess themselves up financially. And then they don't go to work. and they end up losing their job. I've watched people that were clean, I mean, I'm talking about physically clean, lose a mate and become smelly, dirty, and unkept. And you think that's what Jesus would want you to do? You think that's what your spouse would want you to do? Not at all. So, I think mourning's important and you ought to do it. I think you ought to cry. I think you ought to miss them. And I don't think you can mourn properly in a couple months. I think you will mourn the rest of your life, but there is an adjustment to the mourning if it's done properly. But it can become a very dangerous time. I think a perilous time is the first few years, especially the first year of marriage. A perilous time is when you bring children and you start having children. When those children become teenagers, a perilous time. A perilous time can be the death of a loved one. Be careful. Stay on top of things. Don't let things fall apart. Number five, I think it can be a perilous time when you begin to learn how to serve God successfully. When you begin to learn how to serve God successfully, you say, that sounds strange. Stay with me and let me explain it. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. God recommends to you and I that we walk in the Spirit. Here's what happens. When you first get into church and God begins to give you some responsibility. Maybe you're asked to get involved and sing. Maybe you're going to sing in a group. Or maybe you're asked to become a Sunday school teacher. Or maybe you're asked to become a bus captain. You're asked to do something. And I'll tell you where it all started out with me. I was asked to take on a duty in the church, and I was petrified. I was horrified at the thing of taking that responsibility on. And I've got to tell you what I did. I had been taught that if I would ask for God's help, then he would help me to do that duty. And I am going to tell you know what it was? Brother Noss Singer, he's our head usher. I was asked as a teenage boy to be an usher. I about freaked out. It looks so easy when you're just sitting there, and I thought, I got to go up in front of those people? Oh, they're going to call on me to pray? In front of everybody? I'm going to drop the plate. I'm going to mess up. And I told the guy that had recruited me, he said, I don't know if I can do this. He said, ask God to help you. Depend on God. And I'm thinking, okay, if that's what I need to do, that's what I'm going to do. Believe it or not, I'm praying frantically. Oh, God, help me, help me, help me, help me to usher. Oh, if they call on me to pray, oh, don't let me say anything stupid. Oh, God, help me. Help me not to drop the plate. Help me not to trip. Help me not to pass out. Help me, help me. Then they asked me to teach Sunday school. Now, hey, I could sit there and be taught Sunday school all day long. It's so easy. But then they wanted me to teach, and I'm thinking, what? Teach? Out loud? You know what somebody told me? Ask for God's Spirit to lead you. I said, I'm going to have to ask for somebody to lead me. Oh, God. And I'm telling you, I believe in fasting and prayer. I'd fast. I went, cut it down to 2 Oreo cookies a day. Man, I was praying. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. The first time they asked me to sing in a quartet, oh, God, help me. After I sang, the congregation said, oh, God, help us. The first time I preached a sermon, I was petrified. Petrified. Someone said, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I said, okay. So here I am growing up in my Christianity, taking on duties, horrified at the responsibility and walking around constantly saying, oh God, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. I can't do this. I'm afraid. I can't do it. I'm going to fail. Help me. Put the words in my mouth. Don't let me embarrass myself. Help me. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. But then, you learn how to do it. So, do you say, help me anymore? God, I don't need you to preach this sermon. I know how. God, I don't need you to teach this class. I know how. I learned how to usher. I don't need you anymore. I know music. I studied it. So I don't need you anymore. God, I don't need the Holy Spirit anymore. Could I warn every single person under the sound of my voice? It is a perilous time when you begin to succeed for God. Because you needed Him prior to that success. And if you're not careful, you won't need Him anymore. And guess what? You are now failing. You're now truly failing like you feared in the beginning. Because this is not your work. It's God's. So it's a perilous time when you begin to succeed. Let me give you another. Number six. I think it's a perilous time when your kids grow up and start leaving home. You ever heard the term empty nester? Now, honestly, I like eagles. Eagles throw their young out of the nest. Come on, parents, stay with me here. You come to my office, there are eagles everywhere. You say you like that verse in Isaiah. No, I like throwing them out of the nest. But it is a perilous time when your kids begin to grow up. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. And it's talking about when the children become young adults and they get married, they're going to leave home. But it can be a perilous time. What can happen is a husband and a wife, they put their life into their kids and they love them and they spend all their money on them and they're just constantly taking care of the kids, taking care of the kids, taking care of the kids. When the kids leave home, so many husbands and wives have grown apart because the children have actually come between them. You start out and there's a husband and a wife and they're close and they date, they were in love. You start having children and before long, if you're not careful, you lose track of who your mate is. There are people in here, you're suffering from that now. Your children have come between you. Now, God never intended for that to happen. God intended for you to stay together as you rear the children, not to let the children separate the two of you. But it's a perilous time, especially when they grow up and start leaving home. I've known many a couple that after their kids start leaving home or become adults, they needed to be reintroduced to each other. They've been told, if you ever come to any church I've ever pastored, I've said, you need to date. You need to date. You say, well, we're not a young married couple. If you're going to get to be an old married couple, you better date and take time for each other. Oh, but people don't listen to me and they don't do that. They call a date going to the grocery store, picking up a gallon of milk together. Cheapskate. Or go to Wendy's. Or Walmart. Okay, Walmart. Oh, but what happens is if you're not careful, you'll begin to separate in life. And then the children, they leave home, they go off to college, they get married. And then the two of you, you don't know each other anymore. And your marriage will suffer. Look, if you become an empty nester, there's a challenge there. You need to stay together. It's almost as if your children have become your purpose in life. And there is a purpose called children, but I need you to understand you were married before you had kids, if you did it right. You were married before you had kids, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but you were married before you had kids. You better protect that relationship. You say, well, we're just staying together for the kids. Then get right with God and stay together because it's commanded of God. Okay, perilous times. Perilous times, a new marriage. Perilous times, a new baby. Perilous times, the children become teenagers. Perilous times, the death of a loved one. A perilous time when you become successful at what God gives you to do and you don't need Him anymore. It's perilous when the kids grow up and you become empty nesters. Not only that, a perilous time can be a job change. The Bible is very clear. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. That's a command of God. Work is good. Work's not a cuss word. Work's good. But let me tell you something. Be careful when you make a job change. I've watched people that love God, that are committed to God, that are faithful to church, change jobs. And before long, their history. I've even watched people say, I'm changing jobs so I can be in church. And the job change got them out of church. You miss church. There are new people and new temptations at the new job. You get out of schedule. You get out of sync. There are people in here that would tell you, I had a job that just about destroyed me. Folks, life is not all about your job. Life is all about Jesus. Remember Him? I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says to build your life around your job. I can tell you everywhere in the Bible you would build your life around the local New Testament church in Jesus. Watch those job changes. They can mess you up. Then, I think it can be, and I think this is number 8, it can be a perilous time when it's graduation time. Graduation time. I'm talking about graduation from high school. I'm talking about graduation from college. Boy, have I seen a lot of bad summers following graduation. Folks, when you graduate from college, you say, boy, you're now at a level of decision making that could alter the rest of your life. When you finish what we would call a course of education, it can become a perilous time in someone's life. May I recommend that everybody here that graduates from college, that you're very careful with the decisions you make surrounding that graduation. May I recommend that when you graduate from high school, that you're very careful. You know what? You graduate, let's say graduation is on May the 22nd, and you graduate the night of May 22, and you get your high school diploma. The very next morning, you will wake up, and your entire life has something brand new to it. You better be careful. I cannot tell you how many young people that have been trained well graduate from high school, and the summer following their high school graduation, they mess their life up bad. Why? Well, I graduated. Now I can make my own decisions. Well, I've seen where that'll get you. Now I don't have to do what mom and dad said anymore. Well, what was supposed to be happening is you were supposed to learn how to make the decisions that mom and dad would have made. Not a freedom so that you can rebel against what you had been taught. But boy, I've seen it time and time again. Look, hey, young people, when you graduate out of the 12th grade classes here in Sunday school, I think Brother Elswick, you teach the top level of the boys' classes. Mrs. Elswick teaches the top level of girls' classes in the teenage level. Let me give you a piece of information and a piece of advice. When you graduate from high school, you pick one of the adult Sunday school classes around here and you get yourself right in that class. And though you might not be able to go to all the youth activities anymore, well, you better get with the adult activities. And you might not get to go to teen soul winning anymore, but you better show up and go soul winning. I cannot tell you how many people have graduated from high school and blown it that summer. They just blew it. Why? Well, I'm an adult now. I don't have high school anymore. I can do what I want. You were never able to do anything you want. You have always, you're always supposed to do what God wants. I'm just about finished, but I'm going to tell you a story. I know this story. I know the people involved in this story. Young man who was really, I think, the best boy graduating from a Christian high school. Went to graduation, and he decided he would spread his wings a little bit that night. And after graduation, went to a restaurant, a very calm setting, and a lot of good people around and people there, and kept his testimony. At the restaurant, someone said, hey, we're going to throw a party for some of the graduates. Why did you come? And he went. He'd never been to any of the bad people stuff, but he's a big boy now. He's a graduate. While he was there, someone gave him a drink, and they had spiked his drink. In other words, they put something in his drink so he would not think right. That night, a pure, virgin, 18-year-old, top graduate of a Christian school, went to his first party, ended up high, slept with a whore, and got syphilis. He got it together. Got himself right with God. Ended up, many years later, as an assistant pastor at a church. Him and his wife had their first baby. She was born blind as a result of the syphilis. 2 weeks later, he took a shotgun and blew his own head off. You say, when that happened? The night of his high school graduation, when he's finally going to start making his own decisions. So sad. So may I say to everybody, high school graduation, college graduation, perilous times. Perilous times. It is a perilous time as you enter a new marriage and for the first few years of that new marriage. It's a perilous time when you begin to have babies. It's a perilous time when your children become teenagers. It's a perilous time if you've lost a loved one to death. Be careful. It could be a slippery slope. It's a perilous time when you learn how to successfully do for God what you used to need Him to help you do. It's a perilous time when your kids grow up and start leaving home as you face the empty nest. It's a perilous time when you go through job changes. It's a perilous time when graduation rolls around. I think it's a perilous time when you don't yield the teaching about perilous times. I do not think I'm wise. I do think what you've been told tonight is very wise. And if you don't listen to a warning about perilous times, you're living then in a perilous time. If you ignore this type of teaching, boy, this is healthy for you. It's good for you. Glance at where you're at in life and ask yourself, does that apply to me? Be careful, extra careful at those perilous times. And then, may I say, if you're not saved, when you're in a church like this one, and the pastor talks about getting saved, the altar call or invitation time becomes a perilous time for the unsaved. You say, why so? Well, if you're not saved, that means you're on your way to hell. I'm here to present to you Jesus Christ the Savior who would take you to heaven when you die. If you don't do that, you'll go to hell. So right now, if you're unsaved and you're sitting under the sound of my voice, you just entered the perilous time. Be careful. Don't turn down the Savior. Don't say no to salvation. When the lost are presented with Jesus, it's suddenly a perilous time. It's a time of extra caution. Do the right thing. Be careful. Don't let anything stop you from getting saved. I just called the sermon Perilous Times. The Bible said that there will be perilous times. It's not just in the last days. Like I said, it could be retirement. It could be a burden. It could be sickness that becomes perpetual that didn't have to. It could become so many things. But I would say in life, there's about a dozen parts of life that in my experience as a pastor with people, they're extra perilous times. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this: are you saved? If you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you would say, Pastor, I don't know I'm saved, please pray for me. Will you raise your hand and say, that's me. Pray for me, I'm unsaved. Anyone like that? I certainly will pray for you. Then, may I present this question to you. Has God brought to your attention something that maybe you need desperately? Have you been given a warning? Maybe you even can glance back and say, oh yeah, I can see I went through a perilous time, it about destroyed me. But who here tonight would say, God has spoken to my heart. I've been challenged, I've been encouraged, I've been warned, and I see it. I'm going to take it to heart about these perilous times. Would you let God see your hand? God bless you. You may put those hands down. Let me tell you something. You know, as I talk to the married couples, some of you, you ran into a perilous time. You've not been right with God since. You are not what you ought to be, and you're nowhere near what you ought to be. Why? Some perilous time came on you, and you never got back to where you need to be. Perilous time took you for a ride. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. Perilous times. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Hey, watch out at that new job. Hey, watch out with that new baby. Hey, watch out if you just got married. Hey, watch out if your children, are approaching those teenage years. Watch out. It's a perilous time. Perilous time. Hey, some of you that are starting to get the knack of teaching Sunday school and the knack of leadership, don't you start depending on yourself and leave God out of that. It's a perilous time if you've approached the empty nest stage. Perilous time. Perilous time if you've changed jobs. A perilous time if graduation is on the horizon. It's a perilous time. It's a perilous time if you're not saved. And it's a perilous time if you don't take seriously teaching on the perilous time. On the perilous time. There are just times in life that are a little more tricky than others. If you need the altar, you come. Times. Sarah, one more time through the song, would you please? Standing, if you will, let me make another observation if I can. Folks, tonight, and you hear a sermon like this, if I were you, I would not be checking everybody else out. You got your hands full with yourself. I wonder how many times people want to pass judgment on other people. Oh, I know who that's good for. And, oh, I know who that's good for. And boy, I'm glad they heard this. I think God intended for you to get it. For you to get it. You don't know about their job, and you don't know about their health, and you don't know about their marriage. You got your hands full taking care of your own. You attend to yours. You let theirs be between them and God. I learned a long, long time ago, you don't know the whole story. Be careful passing judgment on someone. You just, hey, and if you want to say anything to anyone, just how about say something to God and pray? That's the best thing you could do.